Morning. Well, we're going to try something different today. My iPad is kind of not as faithful as it should be, so we're going to try a little something different here today. But when Pastor Aaron said to me, I remember the story slightly different than what he said. I felt like I was being given a choice. I could either go to camp or I could preach all the time while he was gone. And so I took that, as you can see where I'm at today. So that was how I remembered the story. But, you know, it is always such an honor to get to speak, right? Especially an honor when Pastor Aaron's here, that he trusts me enough to come in here, to come to his pulpit and speak. And so for me, that's a really big deal. So I'm really excited to be able to be here today, continue to preach on the and teach on the Ten Commandments, you know. And so I think that's pretty awesome. But you guys know me, I got to tell a little story, right? So when I was growing up, I worked at this grocery store in college and high school, and one of my favorite things, or one of the favorite things that we did besides stocking shelves and goofing off most of the time and chasing girls and, you know, all those things, was we got the opportunity, we played this game, who could catch the most shoplifters? No joke. I was not very good at it. I was more like the muscle, right? Because everybody thought they could get out, right? And my job was to tackle, confront, wrestle, fight, whatever, right? That was my, but, so I'm a little down on my tally one week, right, if you will, right, of catching the shoplifters. And, you know, the alcohol was on the one section of the store, and then there was the other section of the store, you know, the produce and all of that. And I'm walking through, and I see these two young guys, probably maybe just a little older than Noah. And man, they are shady. Kind of just like Noah. Right, brown sugar over there. And I see them. And they're standing. Y'all remember Brock's Candy? Anybody remember Brock's Candy? Remember in the grocery store, they used to have the little thing. You could go in, fill your own bag. You could put a nickel in or whatever. And you could get. So I'm sure these guys are getting ready to rip off the Brock's Candy thing. You know, the money thing. And so, you know, I'm watching them. I'm watching around the corner, you know. And I yell, I say, hey, what are you guys doing? And they take off, these two young guys. Well, let me tell you, you don't want to take off on me because I want to go, right? I just want to go at that point. I'm like always amped up. And so I run out after these guys. And all my partners, all the guys see me. I don't say anything. I'm just running straight out the door, which is number one, if you ever worked in security, you never go out the side of the door. But this was wild time in Ottumwa. If you know Ottumwa, it's just wild. So out the door I go. And here come all my buddies behind me. Right, and I'm chasing these guys, these young guys, and there's a go out through the parking lot, and then behind the store is the highway, and I can finally catch them in this open field, and I get them on the ground, because I tackled, pure out tackled, and I'm holding them down. The assistant manager gets there. Finally, I say, "What do you got? I want it." And these boys pull out of their pockets peanuts. Y'all remember the big peanut things? They had grabbed a handful of peanuts. I was not the greatest shoplifter catcher. But by golly, I could hold you till the cops came. Right? You know, kind of a little bit of a funny piece there. But today, if that doesn't give you any hint, I get to talk about thou shalt not steal. Right? This is one of the most straightforward commandments. That's in the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Common sense, and many of you are really hoping right now that this will be the shortest sermon I have ever preached. All of you say amen. Amen. You will be wrong. You would be wrong. No. Because what I want to challenge us today is to think and really look deeper. Look at the heart of thou shalt not steal. I want us to understand how we steal. Because this commandment, it begs us to look at the heart. It begs us to understand why God would put such emphasis on this commandment. He includes it. It's so much of an emphasis that he puts it in the top 10. I'd love to just stand up here today and tell you, stop stealing. Stop shoplifting. Stop. Maybe some of you have that. I don't know. Don't raise your hand if you do. Don't want to know that. But I think when we really look at the heart matter of this, that you might find that each and every one of us might struggle with this. Because it's deeper than just grabbing a handful of peanuts. It's deeper than just taking something off the shelf. What God was asking us to look at was at the heart. He's looking at us to look at the root of our hearts. You know, Jesus in Matthew 19, 18, he included it in the commandments that he told the young man when he asked what could it be to have eternal life. Jesus actually included this even. That's how important this is. And we know that Jesus came to deal with the people's heart, didn't he? He came to deal with our hearts. And so today we're going to take a look at the heart of the thief. We're going to ask God to help us see why he would put such an emphasis on this. And some of the ways that maybe we steal, and maybe some of the reasons why we steal. Because it'd be really easy. You don't like that? You wanted more up there? Lily says, I'm not loud enough. I've never heard that in my life. It'd be really easy for many of us here today to say that you've never stolen. That's not a problem with you for this commandment. But I think when you look deeper, you're going to find it. You're going to see it. We're going to have stolen more than we ever thought we could have. But God's so clear that theft will never be tolerated in his kingdom. According to Malachi 3 and 9, he gets so heavy with this. He says, if you steal from me, you'll live under a curse unless you have a repentant heart. So today we're going to look at these four things. Four ways you might have stolen from God. It's not an inclusive list, but there are four ways that I came up with that I believe that God put on my heart. And then four reasons why we may have stolen. It's tough, isn't it? Well, let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this time, God. I thank you that you have come to this place. We invite you into this time right now, God. We invite you into our hearts and say, Holy Spirit, have your way in this time. Lord, might I just be an empty vessel for your words today. Lord, may our hearts be open to what you have to say to us today about theft. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's look at our scripture today. How many of y'all love God's word? Y'all going to get a lot of God's word today. So we're going to start with Exodus 20, verse 15. It's a very simple verse. You can read it up there. It says, you must not steal. Number 8 of the commandments it is. And then we're going to switch over to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 8. It says, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Well, let's think about this. Let's think about four ways that we commit theft and offend God. Now, if I walk up and I steal Steve's wallet, that's pretty blatant, isn't it? But I believe these four ways really deal with the heart of what's going on. What probably a lot of us as Christians deal with that we've never thought about. But they are clearly theft in God's word. Our first one is, we steal God's glory by not living our lives to honor him. I want you to think about that. The first thing we have to do to live lives where we don't steal honor from God is we have to understand, guys, that we're created in his image. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 27 says, so God created human beings in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I included that last part because I want you to understand no one's excluded from being created in the image of God. Being made in the image of God doesn't just mean that we're amazingly and fearfully and wonderfully made. It means we're a direct reflection of who God is. It's a great responsibility that we bear here, guys. It means that we are the reflection and the image of God. How about that? Have you ever thought about that? That you are the image of the Almighty God. You reflect. You are a mirror. Reflection means to, it's like a mirror, to see. When people see you, what should they see? They should see the Father. They should see the Creator. How others see us, how we act, how we speak, how we react, reflects, get this, how we value God. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. When we steal God's glory, I want you to hear this. When we steal God's glory, we cheapen the price of salvation. I want you to think about that. 1 Corinthians 6:20, I told you you're going to get a lot of scripture today. For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. How we live, because of the price of salvation, it costs God something. And what he says is you need to look like me. You need to act like me. When people see you, they should know who you are. Because here's the thing, you guys have heard me say this before. The price of salvation, Jesus' life, was not cheap. It cost God his only son. It cost him everything so that he could give us salvation. What we do with this life that was given to us, and I want you to think of it this way, this life that we've been given was through the blood of Jesus. It cost blood. It was sacrifice. And we have an obligation to make sure that we reflect that. Living a life worthy of the calling and the sacrifice is what honors God. And it brings glory to his name. So you say, where are you going with this, Kelly? What's happening here? What I'm saying is when we don't live that life that honors God, that reflects him, we're stealing from him. You are stealing directly from God. And according to Malachi 3:9, that's a problem. When you are not a representative of the Father and the way that he called us and the price that he paid, we are doing a disservice to his name. True disciples, and that's what Jesus called us to be, isn't it? He didn't call us to be believers. How many of you are disciples in this room? I'm a disciple. I'm so much more than a believer. A true disciple is called to bring glory to God. John chapter 15, verse 8 tells them this. He says, that when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And that brings great glory to the Father. True discipleship emulates the Father and is the reflection of who he is. That's true discipleship. And when we don't act in a manner and when we don't give honor to him, we have stolen directly from the hand of God. You picked his pocket. I don't want to be known as a pickpocket. Do you? Let's look at it another way. We steal God's authority over us by asserting our own authority over his. Ouch. By asserting our authority over God's, in an essence, get this, we're telling God that my way is better than his. Anybody ever told God that? Don't raise your hand again. I'll raise it for all of us. Right? I've done that. I don't know about you. I don't. But I know that God's plans are far better than mine. I don't even know what we're having for dinner after service today, Heidi. But I know that God has a plan that's made up just for me. According to Jeremiah 29:11-14, we don't have to put it up, Andy, because we all know this. It says that God has a plan for our lives. And when we decide to circumvent that, we're circumventing his authority over us. See, the key here is that we must submit to God's authority rather than stealing his authority and living under our own ways. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. I told you, we're going to get a lot. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. Notice it didn't say if I choose Kelly's way. If I seek Kelly, if I seek, it's only when I seek him. When we assert, guys, our own plan over his, we're saying in essence that our authority, my power, is greater than the Father's. We are stealing from the plans that he has for us. How many of you ever thought about that before? When we get run out ahead of him and we begin to try to make things happen, we are stealing God's authority over our lives. Every time we fail to trust him, we're stealing his authority. We're stealing directly from his hand. Steve, I want to ask you a question. If Connor took money from your wallet, well, as a kid, well, maybe I don't. Maybe as an adult too, but as a kid, what would have happened? Discipline. Right? Because you want him to trust you. You want him to trust you to provide for your needs, don't you? Robbing God of his authority over our lives is like robbing yourself of the ultimate perfect plan for your life. I want you to think about that. How about the next one? We steal from ourselves the reward that God has prepared for us. When we fail to follow God's plan, according to Jeremiah 29, he has a plan for us, and we live without his protection, we steal the rewards and the blessings that God has prepared for his children. Faith that God will care and reward his children needs to be at the core of who we are. A lot of these, if you realize what I'm starting to talk about, all harkens back to trust. It's trust that God has our best interest in it. Faith is that core. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. He rewards. God desires, he's got this earnest desire, guys. He wants to reward his children. And when we lose sight of that, we're robbing ourselves of our fullest lives. Jesus, according to John chapter 10, verse 10, said that he came to bring life, or give life, depending on what interpretation you read, more abundantly. He came to give you full life. He came to give you, remember the key in this is give. It's give, because he is a gift giver. When we bring Jesus into our lives, we're inviting an abundance into our life. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel here. Maybe I am talking a little bit about prosperity gospel, because when he's in your life, you prosper. I'm not talking about your checkbook here. I'm talking about your life is prosperous. Your heart, Steve, you got it. Thank you. Your heart prospers within all of, within him. You know, Matthew 7:11 talks about the heart of the Father. And it says, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? He rewards those who seek him. We see that when we lose faith and we lose focus that God rewards good gifts to his children, we deny God. We rob God. It's not even deny. It's rob God of the opportunity to show his faithfulness and his goodness in our lives. We lose out on understanding the fullness. We rob ourselves of that fullness of who he is. Thus we lose understanding of who he is. Well, here's our fourth one. When we steal blessing from others by not allowing them to develop the giftings that God has given them. Ouch. I don't think this is one we talk about enough. Jesus called us, according to Matthew 28, to go and make disciples. Every one of you. From the front to the back, that verse applies to. That commandment applies to you. Your job, as we look at each other, is to make disciples. Discipleship, guys, it's about training, and it's about giving others the room to grow. If Aaron didn't get out of the way and give me an opportunity to preach today, I will lose opportunity to grow. Right? He's giving me opportunity today to become a better disciple because he's willing to do that. We saw this in the example of Jesus, even. He sends out his disciples to prepare them to minister for when he's gone. He's still there to support them. But he sent them out to develop their gifts, to develop who they were. We can facilitate, get this, we can facilitate the growth of others in their lives in our church if we lovingly guide them and nurture them to step out. When we fail to do that, guys, we're robbing other people of what God has for them. We're robbing them of the giftings and the opportunities to become who Christ called for them to be. We're robbing them of the plan, Jeremiah 29. When we take that away from them. And sometimes for us, as we've been in the faith a while, sometimes if we've been growing, sometimes we're mature, if you will, that means we have to do a few things. That's hard. Sometimes we have to step back a little bit. We've got to step back. We've got to let some others grow up. We've got to let some others have an opportunity, right? And it's hard. It's uncomfortable. But I also want you to hear this about discipleship and about raising others up. It's not just the pastor's job. It's yours. It's mine. We're all called to make disciples. How about that? Sometimes that means, guys, we got to come beside people and we got to encourage them and we got to come up and we got to say, man, it's okay to use your gifting. It's okay to develop your gifting. It's okay for you to step up. It's okay to make a mistake. How about that one? It's all about discipleship. Because, guys, we're never to stunt the growth of those around us because of we. This is hard. Because we're afraid of losing out. I love what's happening at the altars these days. Anybody else notice some people stepping up? That's about discipleship. That's about growth. And it takes those of you who are mature sometimes to stand back just a minute. That doesn't mean you take your hands off of. It just means you step back and you give some other folks opportunity. And we see that constantly happening. That's important. Because what we have to do, guys, here is see people as created by God. Then we can truly learn their value. And then we can esteem them as children of God and not as objects or people to be dismissed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, "And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow. Just as our love for you overflows, may he as a result make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all of his holy people. Amen." When we see people for who God created them to be, instead of being threatened by them, we see blessing. No longer do we steal from them, but yet we then receive the blessing of raising them up. One of the things we've been talking about lately is multiplication. In our Wednesday night classes, Aaron, I think maybe you weren't there for this one, but you read it. We talked about multiplication of our faith. Right, that's what sometimes it means. We step back a little bit so that others can step forward. And we still receive that blessing directly because of them. I love the fact, I want you guys to hear this. Every one of you who've given to a move trip, every one of you who have supported Pastor Aaron when he steps out into the field, whether it be because you cleaned up, because you were filling a need while he was gone, each one of you has a part in that church that was being built. Each and every one of you has a little bit of reward from that church and every soul that comes into that church. because you didn't rob Aaron of the opportunity to go and lead. So you hear what I'm saying? You didn't rob from him. Well, let's look at, we've looked at four ways we can steal. So what causes us to steal? Right? That's the heart of it. Because first we had to establish that we do have the heart of a thief at times without even knowing it. But now we have to look at why. That's the true heart of what we're, why do we do that? And there's four things that I've come up with here. Once again, it's not an inclusive list, but I believe these are the four top things. We lack contentment. Many times we're always looking for the, how many of y'all are looking for the next rainbow? We're looking for that next thing coming over the horizon. We're looking for blessing, and we don't necessarily know the one who blesses. You ever notice that? God, give me. God, do this for me, but yet we don't really know the heart of who he is. Without knowing the source, we're always looking for a way to fill up our lives. When you don't know the Father, you're always going to be hungry. You will not have contentment because you don't know who he truly is. Because you don't know that he's your provider. You don't know that he's your protector. You don't know that he's your creator. You don't understand that he's your healer. Right? We could go down all the list, and it provides a lack of contentment in our life. The key to understanding how to be content is to understand the source of all things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 through 13 says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty with plenty of or little. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. Paul in the scriptures, he's telling us the key to living this content life is knowing where the source of all things come from. When you know the source, it doesn't matter whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. Right? And if you've known anything, I'm learning in almost 50 years that there are seasons. Sometimes you have a little, sometimes you have a lot. But we're to be rock steady throughout it. Right? We're supposed to be the same people. In knowing Jesus, we have all the power and provision at our fingertips through Christ. That allows us to be content because true contentment comes from seeking Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Some interpretations say righteousness. They will be satisfied. Simply put, guys, it's a heart issue. Contentment is a heart issue. A heart that's focused on Jesus takes on his character. Get this. It takes on his character, and we become full because we can only find our identity then in what we were created for. When you understand what you're created for, when you understand the purpose that God has called you for, all of a sudden you get really content. But how do you do that? It's only by knowing the source. Truly knowing his heart. That leads to true contentment. But we lack it, and that's one of the reasons we steal. We won't steal when we are content in Christ. What's the next reason? This is probably a big one for a lot of us. We lack confidence in God's provision. We fail to think that God is actually going to come through and provide for us. So many of us, we think about that. It's our wallets, right? But what about healing? What about comfort? What about joy? What about all of those things? We fail to think that God can actually provide any of those. So we seek it out on our own. We're looking for the next high, the next thing that will fill us up because we don't believe that God's enough to provide it for us. We fear that God will not come through in our lives, leaving us wanting or lacking. Jesus called his disciples out for that when he said, you of little faith. We we lack the confidence of God's provision because we consider that to be the unknown. God's greatest desire is to care for his children. Kelton preached on this just a couple weeks ago out of Matthew chapter 6 when he said, That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body and more than clothing? Look at the birds. You don't plant or harvest or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable for them to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? God promises all throughout his scriptures, guys, all throughout his word, all throughout his character, every time it's demonstrated, he promises provision for us. In Malachi, God tells us to test him again. Back in Malachi 3, test me and see if my provision comes through. Matthew tells us, when we seek God in all things, we'll be provided for. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have, get this, have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. When you see him as your provider, there's always enough in the storehouse. Aaron and I were talking about that last week. God got even enough for him to supply someone else's need because he trusted him. Because our hearts, guys, don't know the heart of the Father, we fail to understand why he wants us to trust him so much. We won't steal, though, when we're confident that God's our provider. How about the next one? This might be a big one for some of you. We lack trusting in God's timing. Might be another reason we steal from him, steal from ourselves. The truth is, guys, we're impatient people. How many of you are impatient? Yeah? Me too. As I studied the Old Testament the last few months, one of the things I've seen is the parallel between us, the church now, and Israelites. They're a bunch of boneheads. And then I think, gosh, I might have done some of the same exact things. The Israelites, they wanted everything when they wanted it. They wanted the promise without the proving. They wanted the promise. They wanted the reward without the instruction in how to use it. How many of y'all got a gift before and you can't wait to do it, take care of it? Or you get something new and yet here's the thing you do. The first thing you do is you flip the instructions that way and you're like, I got it. And it comes out like all lopsided and every which way. And there's parts coming out this way that weren't supposed to. Nobody's ever done that, right? We see God as always being late because we fail to remember that he's working things out for our good. I can tell you, I'm always ahead of God, it feels like. But here's the reality, I'm probably not ready. God's timing is perfect, and it's perfect for us. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. That tells me his timing is perfect. And when I wait for his timing, when I allow his timing to be what it is, I'm blessed. Earlier we said that you could live under the curse when you steal from God. But when you wait on him and you don't steal the timing from him, see the opposite happens? You're blessed. You're blessed. In truth, most of the time, God is actually waiting for you. He's waiting for you to get ready. He's waiting for you to have a heart that's prepared. He's waiting for you to have a heart that would seek him. He's waiting for a heart that acknowledges him. Israelites are a great example of this because they cost themselves 40 years because they wanted to do things their way and in their timing. The Lord was just waiting on them. When he led them out of Egypt, he was ready to go to the promised land. But when they chose to do it their own way, they cost themselves. Remember that robbing ourselves of the blessing? There it is right there. Because here's the key, guys. Faithful people do not rush ahead of themselves or ahead of him to solve their own problems. They rely on his power and his goodness. That's giving back the authority. Y'all catching some of these other correlating now? Because you're giving back the authority. You're saying, God, your authority is good enough because your timing is perfect. Your provision is perfect. Here's the really cool thing. Because his timing is perfect, guys, that's good news for us as a church. It's good news for us as children of God. Why is it good news, you say? Because God's taking the burden off of you. You don't have to think about how to scheme, how to steal, how to think outside of that when you are trusting of God. When you trust his timing, you know that he's good. What I wanted to say is stop putting the cart before the horse, because if you realize the horse can't push the cart as fast as he can pull the cart. Right? We won't steal when we trust God's timing. We lack respect. How about this one? We lack respect for God's people who are created in his image. When we don't see every person, when we fail to respect them as children of God and an extension of him, we don't mind stealing from them. Taking, when we see them as less than, when we lose their value, when we don't see the value that God sees in us, it's really easy to steal from them. And that's because we don't see them as God's creation. We don't see them as special. We don't see them as his beloved. We don't see them as a recipient of John 3:16. We've devalued who they are. We've devalued God in that moment because they're created in his image. Jesus gave this new commandment in John 13:34-35. It says, now I've given you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In this command, Jesus commands us to love one another, to see each other as he sees you. When we do that, we treat each other with value, and that will draw the world in because we're no longer stealing from one another. We see each other as just as important. But when the world sees us treading all over each other and stepping in front of each other, they cannot see any difference between us and them. So we rob God of his glory. We rob him. We not only are robbing those people, those children of God, we are robbing ourselves of his rewards. We're robbing ourselves constantly. We've become thieves without even knowing it. But here's some good news. We won't steal from others when we respect and we love them and we see them as God's creation. I'm going to wrap it up here. Thou shalt not steal. It goes so much further. It goes so much further than the action of theft. It goes so much deeper than you taking the candy from the Brock's. Peace. It goes so much deeper than you grabbing that toy off the shelf. And most of us have that story, right? Most of us do. It's deeper. It's deeper. It's a matter of our heart and the condition of it. We always told Kelton growing up, we never wanted him to have that heart. And so we always said to him, anytime we would go into a store, all you have to do is ask. May not always come that time, but all you have to do is ask. Because I always wanted him to know that I would provide. It's the same with our Father in heaven, right? When we allow our hearts to go unchecked, because I told you, this is a heart issue. like I said, some of you were ready to tune me out the minute I said, thou shalt not steal. But I'm asking you to look at your heart today. When we allow our hearts to go unchecked, church, we become the biggest thieves out there. We become the biggest bunch of thieves out there. But if we want to honor the eighth commandment, we have to stop dishonoring God with our actions. We have to stop stealing God's authority to rule over our lives. We got to give him back the authority. We have to stop stealing from ourselves God's blessing. So many of you want it so bad, but you can't get out of your own way to receive it. We have to stop stealing the blessing of others through our actions. What must we start doing? We have to start having contentment for where God has placed us and what he's going to bring us. We have to start trusting God's provision, knowing that he is the author and the finisher. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He is the great provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. We have to begin to trust his timing and know his timing is for our benefit. Get comfortable. Know that it's not about being patient. It's about knowing that God's will and timing is perfect. I don't have to be patient then. I just get to trust. And finally, we have to begin to respect and honor God's children as his creation. To see them for who they were. Today's a pretty simple one as we begin to bow our heads here for just a moment. I'm going to ask you two questions today. Actually, I'm going to ask one question to tell the truth. If somebody was here today and they said, man, I'm tired of being a thief, and I want to give my heart to Jesus for the first time, maybe it's the second time, it's even the 10th time, I don't know. But you said, hey, I want to give my heart to Jesus today because I'm tired of being a thief. And there's good news in that, right? Because the thief was on the cross beside Jesus. And he said, Jesus said to him, today you'll be in paradise, because he accepted him into his heart. So today you're tired of being the thief and you want to give your heart to Jesus. I just ask you to raise your hand. If that's you, just raise your hand. Be bold. Be confident. I see the hands. I see those hands. Now the next one. Everybody look at me for a minute. The next one's a hard one. Because I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. I'm going to ask you to examine your hearts today to see if you have the heart of the thief. Go deep. Go Psalms 139 deep and say, Father, take a look at my heart. Tell me if I'm a thief. Have I been robbing you? Have I been robbing your people? Have I been robbing myself? And if that's you today, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to just come up to the altar and have a repentant heart, because that's what Malachi chapter 3 verse 9 says, that the only way to break the curse is to have a repentant heart. So I'm going to begin to pray. And if that's you today and you have a repentant heart because you don't want to be a thief anymore, you don't want to steal anymore, I'm going to ask you to come up to the altar. Be brave. It's going to take some braveness today because nobody wants to be called a thief. But I'll venture out there to say that most of us have had that in our heart. So I'm going to begin to pray. And as I begin to pray, Kelton, you're going to begin to worship soon as I begin to, before I finish praying, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. So Father, I just thank you today, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your commandment that tells us that we don't have to be thieves, that you've commanded us not to be thieves. God, I pray that you would give us hearts that trust you today. Lord, that you would give us hearts that begin to follow out after you today. Lord, I pray for repentance in this place today. Your word declares that if we'll repent, according to 2 Chronicles, that you will hear us. So, Lord, I just pray right now that we would begin to have repentant hearts, Lord. Lord, that repentance would block, it would clear the way of blessing today. Lord, for those who are seeking blessing today, Lord, I pray that repentance would clear the path. So, Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, as we worship you, in Jesus' name. If that's you today, I just encourage you to come on. Come on ahead.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul not stand. You stood before my failure, carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul not stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to Spirit alive in me. My life to declare your promise, my soul not stand. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So what can I say? Stay with arms high and high. can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you.
I tell you, God is so good, isn't he? Man, I'm telling you. You know, I just would offer this up to you this week, you know. This song summed up really what the sermon was all about. It's about surrender. It's about surrender. The heart of the thief goes away when we surrender to the provider of all things. Right? That's the summation. So if you take one thing from today, take that. Submission to the Creator, to the King, brings about provision. Let's pray. And then you're dismissed. Father, I just thank you for today. God, I thank you that you are the great provider, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you have provided for us in all ways, and it does not require us to have the heart of a thief. Lord, because of you, Lord, you have broken the curse. You have broken that curse over our lives today, God. Lord, that you are the ultimate gift giver. You are the rewarder of our souls. So, Lord, I just thank you for today. Lord, I pray a blessing on each and every person here today. Lord, may the sun shine upon them. May your face, your face shine upon them this week, God. And may they see your blessing and your provision as they walk through this week. We just praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. What a faithful God you are. We say thank you.